Need a quick hit of Marketing Smarts inspiration? Here it is. We have lifted portions of our Marketing Smarts episodes for those of you who need a quick jolt of marketing savviness right now. Refer to the description for how to find a longer form version. And with that, here it is. When we're leaving a legacy, it really does help form culture. And I think that obviously that's what this point is called. But what we would say here is that it's especially important if you are a leader, but you can do this at any level. So I made the point before about making things better, leaving an impact, and having to grow your legacy. Just because you're not the leader, the owner, the CEO, et cetera, you still have the power to do this. And when we think about this point, we think about those people that we've all had in our careers where you talk about them and you're like, their personality is just so infectious. When I'm with them, I can't help but being positive, right? Or whatever that is, whatever that thing is that you glom onto, that other people glom onto, and they want to follow that person down whatever particular path. The thing that I would say about this, though, is, and this was a misconception when I was younger, is those people don't just happen to be that. Like in some ways, right? But this is where your personal brand really comes into play. So you have to always be actively working within and managing your personal brand so that you know, one, who you want to be, but then subsequently how you want to show up, and then how you want people to feel as a result, and then how do you want them to be as a result of that. What I've learned over the years is those people were great because they were consistent and they were active in their personal brand at all times. And they were managing the situation around them, not from a manipulative way, but they saw the way they wanted it to be, or they saw the legacy they wanted to leave. And so then they were acting in accordance with that. So this is really specifically your behaviors and your actions. I just said consistency. Your actions are the choices you make in your engagements with others, as well as when you think about the business as a whole. And we recently had the former CMO of Chick-fil-A on the show. Oh man, what's that been? A couple months ago now, maybe. And he talked a lot about the culture there. And Truett Cathy, who was the founder, established what he calls Christian values in Chick-fil-A. And whether you're religious or not, it really doesn't matter to this point. What we interpret this as is really just being a good human. Right. So we would encourage you, that's Steve Robinson, go back and listen to that episode. But even to this day, Chick-fil-A still upholds those ideals. So a second generation takes over, folks like Steve after 30 years are now gone. They continue to live into that and they keep it pretty simple, honestly. It's about being a good person, like we said. But the culture of the organization lives into that just as much as the experience they provide to the customer and all the way through. And they're constantly using that as a lens. Now, this is a really big scale example. We get that. We think it's one that's easily intuitive when you think about it, and we've all experienced it. So therefore, one that really shows you how when you create the culture through the lens of the legacy that you believe as whatever role you're playing in the organization, that's how you can start to help the culture take hold in a very intentional way.
Yeah, I think that is a really good example. And I just want to emphasize the point that is about your behaviors and actions and how you show up. Mm-hmm. And that is a really, really important part to think about because, you know, the old adage is true, right? It's like people won't remember necessarily what you do, but they remember how you make them feel.
Uh-huh.
And this is a really, really important point to remember if you want to leave a legacy. And like I said, we expect you guys want to leave a positive legacy.
Yes, yes.
So we don't want you to be the worst person they ever worked with, but one of the best people that they ever worked with. You want to help people rise to the occasion. You want to help people be better around you. You want to help people accomplish more as a result of you and your presence. So think about what your personal brand is doing on behalf of that mission and that goal, if legacy is what you want to lead, and see how your behaviors and actions may or may not be actually conducive to achieving that goal. And I think it's something that becomes a very much a vulnerable place to be sometimes.
Sure does.
But it does create a huge, huge transition and transformation in the way people are going to interact with you and the influence you have on people. So really, really think about that point. I think that's a really excellent point. And then that becomes infectious, and that's where the culture is created, right?
Yep.
Yep.
It grows from there.
All right. The fourth point about leaving a legacy in your career at any level is intentionally planning your succession. April, I'm going to take this one.
And this is the one nobody ever wants to talk about because they don't want to have to think about actually leaving.
Right.
it all sounds good until it becomes reality, just like a lot of things. But again, this is not just for CEOs and executives. This is really for anyone, no matter your level. Many people believe succession planning is part of a process that's done around them, but in actuality, you can have a big influence on who takes over when you leave. This holds true even if you're just leaving one role within the company and going to another. How are you leaving things and how do you want them to be left and who to, essentially? So what we mean by this is recruit with intention. So make sure that you're carefully cultivating your team such that you can pull a lot of like-minded, though diverse, talent and look at those people and then think about who's ready to step in when you step out. So that's the intentionality that we're talking about there. Pull people up with you. We talk about this a lot on various topics. Make sure that as you climb the ladder, your successors are coming along with you and then you're backfilling underneath them, right? So the like-mindedness, that's what we're talking about. It becomes, it starts to permeate through all levels if you do it right. And make sure when you're doing this that the people that you're pulling up are getting the exposure they need to the right people at the right time. So it makes sense, not just to you, why you're putting them forth. Nominate or provide a list of successors to the hiring manager. Give your reco who you think the best person is to take your role and then leave a plan for them. If you can help with that transition plan, even better, especially if you know this person intimately, you're able to help use the skills that they have to then set them up for success in that transition plan. And then offer to be part of the recruiting process or provide the criteria if you don't believe that the people exist within house or, you know, or haven't been your successors along the way on what makes a qualified candidate. Now, nothing guarantees that your legacy is going to be maintained or that all parts of this are going to happen the way you want them to. But if you do this work, I've seen this work well, where it's a lot, it's outside of the norm of most people's quote unquote day job of what they're managing, even if they're in HR or, you know, whatever their role is, it's added work for them, especially if it's going to be done right with intention. So I think by putting any of this in place, you have a better chance of having your legacy take hold and some of it being moved forward. It might not play out exactly like you thought, but you can influence it.
Yeah, I think those are really, really good points. And I think a lot of people miss this unless they think that they are the hiring manager. And so I'll tell you, before I was actually a manager of others, what I would tend to do was, if we had to have a new person come into the team or if we were hiring externally, I would be like, I'm just going to jot down a few points of who I think would be really good for this role. And I gave it to my boss. I'm like, and even with the guys of like, I know, you know, you're kind of processing a lot and you're thinking a lot about who could fit. I'm like, just in case you're interested, I just put down a few points of what I thought would be the right qualifications for this person in this role, right? You can influence that at your own level. Now, like April said, not guaranteed that they're going to listen, but you can at least try to influence. Then as the hiring manager, there was two things that I always look for when I was hiring somebody in. One is like, could they take my job eventually?
Yep.
Because if they couldn't, then there's just really no point. Although there are people who are at a lower level, do I see potential in it that they can eventually take
get
it?
There. Right? Get there. Get there.
And two, can they make me look good?
Yep.
Right? So those were the two qualifications that were really highly, highly important to me because one, I mean, you got to remember that you don't know everything. And so surrounding yourself with smart people who do is extremely, extremely helpful, even though you have to kind of swallow your ego a little bit to do that. But this is all about intentionally planning your succession. It's about creating a team that, one, has the right culture, but then also when you are going to move on, you have this like this established ecosystem that can carry on without you, right? And then you move that and you take that to the next place you go, right? So I think that's a really, really important point.
Well, and the last thing I will say here is, don't let it not happen because you're fearful. So this planning sets up the next team for success and whatever, but it also allows you the peace of mind to be able to move out and not stay too long. I've seen that happen. And then you get to the point of diminishing returns. I'm actually going to make a sports analogy here, Anne. You're going to die. But we recently watched Derek Jeter's whole series on his career. And the thing that struck me about him, full transparency, I have a huge crush on him after that. And I already did anyway, but just
more
his – in a different way.
Okay.
He's like just – they're kind of opposites, right? Like Derek is polish and professionalism and suave and like oozes charm. Shaq does those things in a more of a raw way, which I just find hysterical. So anyway, All that to say. But the thing that struck me and why it came into my head for this point is that Derek exited his career at a point when, sure, he could have kept playing, but he was kind of going out on top. And I don't mean that in like the, oh, he just won X amount of World Series, whatever. But it was like he knew it was his time and he left with the grace of that versus some of these players on various sports that you see kind of like hold on too tight. And then what you remember about them is what happened at the end, not all the great things that they did in between. And I saw this happen in a few different organizations that I worked in where I was like, if he had just gone like even 2 years earlier, it would have been a completely different exit. And I just think this is where grace and doing what you have to for yourself to be okay with leaving versus putting the stranglehold and holding on, it's just so important to this point.
Yeah, choose your time. Don't let your time choose you.
Yes.
And that's at any level. Again, this is not just like, yeah, I'm old and I'm retiring.
No.
It's like I've been here too long. I'm no longer growing. Therefore, I'm not longer helping my team to grow. Right?
Yeah.
Or I've gotten everything I can out of this. It's time for me to move on. But this is a safe place. It's a,
yep.
You know, I like it here. You know, those sorts of things too. So I think it's fear from multiple different places, right?
Well, and you brought up Shaq, so I may as well emphasize the point here. Like part of the reason I'm fascinated with that man, it's all post-basketball career.
Yeah.
It's because of all the business acumen that he's built and that he's done it with intentionality, and he's built a completely separate career, not to mention he's hysterical, like I said. But, you know, just it's like he could have kept playing until he couldn't walk anymore, literally, for the stress he was putting on his body. But he's found other ways to move his legacy along and have actually, I would argue, a much bigger impact on the world and people that are non-NBA sports fans, such as myself.
Agreed. I have to totally agree with you on that one. All right, so just to recap, how to leave a legacy in your career at any level. Take the time to teach, coach, and mentor. When we hear stories of people recounting impactful moments in their careers, they almost always include someone who made a difference in their journey. Number two, set the new standard. The people who leave a legacy don't just see what they do as a transactional job. They see it as a sandbox full of opportunity to build and create something new. Number three, create culture. This is especially important if you are a leader, but anyone can do this at any level just by being intentional with how you show up. And number four, intentionally plan your succession. This is not just for CEOs and execs. This is for everyone, no matter your level. You can have a big influence on who takes over after you leave.
Still need help in growing your marketing smarts? Contact us through our website, forthright-people.com. We can help you become a savvier marketer through coaching or training you and your team or doing the work on your behalf. Please also help us grow the podcast by rating and reviewing on your player of choice and sharing with at least one person. Now, go show off your marketing smarts.